Hello and welcome to episode 95 of season 2 of the Search with Canda podcast. I am your host, Jack Chambers Ward, and it's a little bit of a special episode this week. I know I've been talking about Search Norwich a couple of times on the show over the last few weeks. We made our triumphal return. Huge credit to Mark, Sevy and the team who organised it. And Search Norwich 12 happened earlier on in October. Search Norwich 13, aka the Search Norwich Christmas Social, will be back in December on December the 6th. You can get your tickets and the link in the description if you want to go and check that out. And I thought I'd bring you a fantastic talk delivered by the one and only Daniel Foley Carter from Search Norwich 12 as this week's episode. I know Mark has done this in the past and highlighted particularly brilliant speakers from Search Norwich in the past, and I thought Search Norwich is back. Search with Canda and Search with Norwich have a really nice kind of sister relationship with each other, and I thought you guys would appreciate hearing from, for what is my money, one of the most knowledgeable and interesting people in the entire SEO industry, and has been doing it longer than Google has been around. There are few people in this industry who have more experience and a more diverse skill set than Daniel Foley Carter. So enjoy the next half an hour or so, because I am pretty much going to hand over entirely to Daniel for the rest of the episode. The talk is all about Google's recent helpful content updates and the future of SEO. And like I said, there are a few people I am more interested to hear from than Daniel on this subject. But before I get to that, before I hand over to Daniel and his talk, I'd like to say a huge thank you to this week's sponsor. Of course, it is Sistrix, the SEO's toolbox. And you can go to sistrix.com/SWC, get a free trial of some of their fantastic tools, which includes the Google Update Radar, which, oh boy, is important at the moment because at present we're kind of crossed in the middle of two updates happening at once. And I think there's been about 15 over the last month or so, or it certainly feels like it. Hopefully no more before the end of the year. You can also check out their Instagram hashtag generator and their hreflang validator as well. Two fantastic tools I've used in my day-to-day job very regularly. If you want to go and check out the Sistrix blog, they have some fantastic new content up there for you, including this month's Sector Watch, which is all about headphones. I use headphones all the time, whether that's podcasting, listening to music, listening to podcasts outside of my own podcasts. I use headphones all of the time, so this is a really interesting topic and sector to dive into. And Charlie Williams, who is going to be on the show in the not-too-distant future, I spoke to Charlie a little while ago, I'm going to have him on as a guest, I think he's really, really interesting guy, has dived into some of the high-performing content examples, the top 25 domains, and basically analysing what is performing and why it's performing so well. So if you have an e-com client and you want to understand how a huge industry like the headphones industry is doing what it does in the UK and who is dominating the SERPs, this is the place to go. Sector Watch, it's a perfect little snapshot into the industry and a brilliant way of doing that kind of competitor research without having to go and pass all the data yourself. Charlie and the team over at Sistrix have done it for you. So, like I said, click the link in the show notes and that will take you over to the latest Sector Watch, all about the headphones industry, from the amazing Charlie and the fantastic team over at Sistrix. Without any further ado, here is Daniel Foley Carter and his talk, Google Helpful Content and the Shift Away from Traditional SEO. Please enjoy.
So the first thing I'd probably say is that I'm a little bit nervous. So while I might be okay at SEO, it's been many years since I've been on a circuit talking or in front of a lot of people. I sort of tucked myself away for many years, and it was only in the last year that I started doing webinars. So one of the things that was always really important for me was education. And I started doing SEO before Google was even around. So if you want to know what old is, just Google Alta Vista and then you'll know. So when I started doing SEO, there was no Google. It was Alta Vista, FreeServe, Lycos, Hotbot, Angel Fire. You didn't have Google. And SEO was about creating a doorway page, jamming hundreds of keywords into the doorway page, and there was just basically keywords. That was all SEO was. So someone that was a bin man, a roofer, a lawyer, whoever, could come in and be an SEO professional in one day. That changed dramatically. By 2010, you actually put some effort into your efforts. However, things now have got substantially more difficult. So sadly, Neil Patel's videos aren't going to save you anymore. So I might not look old, but inside I'm extremely old. I'm about to claim my pension. And I originally wanted to be a website designer, but after being an SEO and working with web developers and web designers, I now definitely don't want to be a web designer. I worked for large SEO agencies back in the early 2000s. Nothing's changed. They're all award-winning. I started my own agency in 2007. We're award-winning. And I've worked with a lot of medium and large brands for a majority of my career. What that means is that they come to me, ask me for help, and then don't listen to anything. I've ranked sites in highly competitive niches. So I've worked on pornography websites. My other half doesn't talk to me half the time. And I've worked in gambling, casino, payday loans, all the kind of things that ruin society. I've stopped that now. COVID, unfortunately, brought my agency to its knees. So in terms of me looking like I'm amazing on LinkedIn, I genuinely am a normal person. I don't live a lavish lifestyle. I put my staff first. But 2019 was the hardest year that I've ever been through in my life. My agency almost collapsed. So it's proof that, you know, despite however people might look on social media, what you see is not necessarily what's going on. In 2022, I launched SEO Audits.io. So the reason that I did that is because with the best will in the world, there's millions of SEO agencies, SEO consultants out there all over the world. But the problem is that a lot of the SEO that is learned is done through the same sources. So this is not a dig at anyone, but people go through Neil Patel, Brian Dean, Backlinko, SEMrush, Moz. And it's not that they're not a good resource, they are, but the problem with SEO is that a lot of SEO is self-taught by experimentation, and that is something that you don't necessarily learn through these sources. I launched SEO Audits.io because I get sent a lot of the audit work from other businesses, and after seeing loads and loads of audits, I could see the same thing time and time again. I'm also developing an SEO SaaS. It's taken a lot longer than I would have liked to have expected, but so most of you in the SEO industry will already know there's only a handful of tools that most people rely on. Search Console is one of those tools, but the problem is that Search Console is like a quarter of a cake. You only get some of the data and not all of it. SEO Stack was something that I embarked on to give you all of the data and blend in AI. So, the reason that I decided to do this speak today was that so many people that I speak to are still hinging on traditional SEO factors. And the way that Google's going, that is going to die over the next couple of years. So let me explain. A lot of SEO for many, many years was always very basic. It was always the same thing over and over again. Wherever you went, it was put keywords in your title, keywords in your header tags, put keywords in your content, keywords in your links, build loads of links, hit Google as hard as you can with links, and basically you would rank. And that worked for many, many years until Panda and Penguin came along, and that started to change the face of what was happening. Now, unfortunately, traditional SEO lived on a lot longer than it should have. And even in 2023, traditional SEO factors still do work to a degree, but they're not where you should be putting your efforts now, especially with the latest Google helpful content updates. So, whenever you would deal with SEO in the past, it was always a lot more simple. It was a case of making sure that your H1s and your title tags, and that you're putting it in H2, H3, blending in keywords, using semantic keywords, as people would say, but putting stuff in a page and in a website and making sure that, you know, you covered the basics, and you could build links, you could build crappy links, you could build bad links and you would rank, and you can still build bad links and rank, but I'll fill you in on that. And there was a lot of emphasis with a lot of SEO that's conducted, and it does happen because it's an easy route. In a lot of agencies and even at a consultancy level, blog creation was a way of creating deliverables for a client and getting your invoice paid. That's going to change. Modern SEO is basically Google now using AI and machine learning to say, no, we recognize if you're creating content for us rather than content for the end user. So optimizing for end users is a must. You absolutely need to start putting end users first. Search-friendly websites. So rather than creating your content for Google, you would now create your content for users, but you would put it in a format that is still search-friendly. What that means is that you take a piece of content that you've created that you know is really good, and you put it into a format that when Googlebot comes to crawl it, it can render it and actually see that content and understand exactly what it is that you're offering. So content created for users and not search is actually relatively new. So even up until 2022, you could create a piece of content, jam your keywords in, put LSI and semantic keywords in there, and it would rank, and you could get it to rank if you tick things. However, Google helpful content updates are the paradigm shift. This is the point that now people have to start paying attention. Creating content for the sake of it does not work and will not work. Creating content that doesn't have a scope and put the end user first will not work. So content created for users and not search is the content that is now getting hammered by Google. You'll see it if you go on Facebook groups, on LinkedIn groups, SEO communities, you will see thousands of people all showing charts with negative click decline. And that's because for too long, people have created content purely on the basis of ranking. This is also the point that I want to say, that using AI tools to create content is not a good idea, because AI is not factoring in end user intent. So it will spit out content that looks good, but isn't designed for the end user. Give users what they want. Now, giving users what they want is completely variating depending on what the niche is, what the query is. So much of SEO is all based on putting your keyword into a tool and getting some arbitrary guidelines. That does not work, and it will fail more and more as time goes on. And that is purely because of the fact that Google is understanding how people are reacting to what you're serving them. Now, I'll make a point on this, and I've done a lot of testing. So, if you have a website outside of the top 10 positions in Google, it's not likely to get traffic. So how is Google going to make the decision that your website is any good for the end users? Well, you would start with long tail. As you create a piece of content, long tail traffic is usually the first source of traffic that you get. And how people react to that when they land on your content can actually set the stage for whether your content goes to the next level. Giving users what they want will exhibit positive user engagement. And that, especially moving forwards as Google uses more and more AI and machine learning, is what you need to focus on. Now, offering a good user and page experience is also subjective. What I mean by that is that if you want to buy a new toaster, because your toaster's packed up because you shove too many crumpets in it, what you're going to be looking for is a new toaster. And the things that you might consider is how it looks, how much it costs, how quickly you can get it. So when you Google black TFAO new toaster, or whatever you might Google, how you interact with results is going to become a factor, and it will be weighted more and more. So writing a 400, 500, 600, 700 word article because an AI content tool or a content tool told you to put a keyword in 15 times and all these variants, don't do it. Offering a good user page experience also means putting your stuff in a place where people will actually find it useful. If people are there to transact, they do not care about the product description. I know it sounds harsh, but they don't. They care about your brand, your reviews, and how quickly they'll get the product, and whether you give them the money back if the product is no good. Demonstrating expertise and authority. That's also very key. Now, I have to say is that these guidelines are top level. And as with the previous deck size that you've seen, it depends, does come in. So demonstrating expertise isn't necessarily needed when you're trying to sell a toaster. But if you're talking about divorce law, or you're talking about borrowing money, or whether you should take medication, those kind of things definitely come into play. Because if you Google how many paracetamol can I take with a headache, and a site comes up saying you can take 20 in a day, you could find yourself in a lot of trouble. And Google is now stamping that out. Strengthening brand authority and trust. Now, that is absolutely key. So we saw in the first slide deck about link building. Link building is one part of the pie. Building brand and brand trust is really, really, really important. In fact, brand trust is becoming more and more important across the whole niche, not just local SEO, but international SEO as well. So what do I mean by that? So I mean brand reviews. So you could have independent review profile like Trustpilot, reviews.io, FIFO. But it's also how many times your brand is talked about on social media, on UGC sites like Reddit, Quora. So building a brand is absolutely crucial because it cements how much Google can actually look at your link profile, look at your content, and look at what people are saying about your brand. And that will help when it comes to ranking. And it would help if I didn't chuck the remote, if I still got it. And build links. So Google, there was recently a post that went out about how Google's are not as strong a ranking factor as they once were. My advice to anyone that is in the SEO space, if you see something that is pushed out from Google, there is what Google says and then what Google does. Now, let me explain one very top level example of that. PPC. So in PPC, Google claimed that PPC is based on bid modeling. So the price of PPC goes up by bidding. And then it was recently revealed that they can artificially increase the cost for shareholders to get more money in. So fundamentally, they've undermined what they've said for years and years and years, and they've undermined it in one statement. The same can be said for the time that EMDs were dead. Matt Cutts explicitly said exact match domains, putting your keyword in a domain doesn't matter anymore. Yes, it does, and it still does work. Whenever Google says something, take it with a pinch of salt. Build links, because they do help your brand. Traditional SEO is dying, and it is, and I've been testing it, and I've been looking at it more and more. So the most basic example of that is title tags. Title tags are meta description tags. People spent years emphasizing you've got to have your keywords in your title, got to have your keywords in your description, otherwise, you know, Google won't recognize what you do. Well, that's not entirely true. The fact is that Google is now using AI, machine learning. We've got BERT, Google BERT, which understands the context of things. So if you write a title and description now, and if Google doesn't think that it's good enough, it won't serve what you've given it. It will serve something else. Same with header tags. Now, there's one really important thing here, and I hope that I put it in the slide. Traditional SEO relied on you making it super clear what it was that you had to offer. Okay, so you do the same. Keyword in your URL, title, H1, paragraph, H2, alt tags, all over the place, you jam your keyword, and it would work, and it worked for many years. But the problem is that Google had to differentiate between people that had something to offer versus people that were just spamming and trying to get traffic. And it couldn't do that. Google could not differentiate between good sites and bad sites. And it didn't matter whether you put loads of content in or built links, Google couldn't differentiate, and they struggled with it. And they paid people like Matt Cutts, Danny Sullivan, to spend years on Twitter echoing, don't do this, we'll catch you. But the reality is they didn't have anything to catch people, and people carried on doing it until now. So the problem is that you could put a web page together with all of these things in, and you could be a good or bad business. It wouldn't matter. Just because you made it clear what you offered didn't mean you were good for the end user. So traditional SEO, there's not enough data points for Google to work with. Just because you put keywords in a title tag, header tag, whatever you put your keywords in, that didn't mean that you were a good fit for the end user. So the best analogy that I could come up with on short term, because I was busy, was if you took three mechanics and they all had their own websites and they all had their different years of experience, they could all write the same content and they could all rank well in Google. And when your car broke and you Googled mechanic near me and you found one of these, you would have no idea how good the mechanic actually was. Now, how would Google know that? Google can't understand how good a mechanic they are. But what it can understand is that if these people were writing their content for their website, it will understand based upon how detailed their content is, the context of their content, the things that they mention. Now, if you are not in law, if you do not work in law, and you try to write an article on the Local Government and Finance Act of 1992. You'll get nowhere. You might be able to read it and regurgitate it, but you'll get nowhere, and Google will see that. What Google can now do, though, however, is it can tell if someone genuinely has the experience or they don't. And this is where EEAT, YMYL, and helpful content come in. Traditional SEO. Traditional SEO relied on far few data points. So title tags, header tags, meta tags, putting keywords in your content, anchor text, internal links. Google had that for years because it didn't have machine learning, it didn't have AI. The same as your mobile phones 15, 20 years ago didn't have any capabilities compared to what they've got now. Everything has progressed. Technology, algorithms, everything has progressed. And so who's Google? So Google now uses machine learning and AI, and it collects data at an alarming rate. And this was one point me and Mark had some funny conversations about. So I'm going to give you a very basic scenario, and I will say now it depends, and I'm not saying that this is absolute, but let me give you a scenario. So all through the 90s, even into the early 2000s, nearly everyone used Microsoft Internet Explorer. That was the main browser that everyone used. And slowly but surely, Firefox came along and started stealing market share. And then Google Chrome came along. And Google Chrome now has more than 75% market share of all browser usage. So, with so many people using Google Chrome, they've now got access to data. Now you might say, well, Google has privacy options, blah, blah, blah. They can't do this, they can't do that. Well, believe you me, they can get data even if it's non-identifiable. So, with Google Chrome, it can identify when you go into something and when you come out of something. When you click on something, when you scroll, when you do anything, Google Chrome can see that. And if it's anonymized data, it doesn't breach EU regulations. So, with most people using Google, most people using Chrome, that 1,000 data points can tell a much bigger picture rather than a H1 tag with a keyword in it. So, traditional SEO had a very small data point set, and it was very easy to manipulate Google, and very easy to rank, and many, many years people spent doing the same thing. Modern SEO, which is still in play now, is basically, there's a lot more data points for Google to look at, and Google has a far more advanced algorithm that it can start detecting what does and doesn't work. Future SEO, and we know that this is going to be hard hitting over the next year, is not only does Google now have all this data, it now uses machine learning and AI to be able to better understand exactly what's happening with user behavior. Now, I'll give you an example. If you are on Google and you type in cheap trainers, and you go on position one, and there's 50 pairs of trainers, and most people go on there, never really find what they want. They don't have the right colors, they don't have the right range, the pricing's not right. But positions two and three might have 1,000 trainers, 2,000 trainers. Someone's behavior versus a long form article about cheap trainers is going to be far more indicative of whether something is a good result. And this is where SEO is heading. It's not about serving people content that's just got keywords jammed into it, or using NLP or AI content briefs. None of this stuff is going to align with what's happening. Modern SEO is more likely to result in an even better user experience. What that means is you go to Google, you type in cheap holidays, Tenerife, because you want to go to Tenerife, and you're going to start looking at how many holidays you've got, how many properties there are, whether the brand's trustworthy, whether you're going to book your money and get that money back if the booking fails. All of these things are going into what's happening. So Google's algorithms shift are moving the barrier to rank. And if I could give anyone advice, tools, not all tools, also ask is excluded, not all tools are bad. But the problem is, and this is a big intrinsic problem in the SEO industry, is when people put their website into a tool and the tool goes away and it crawls the website and it comes back with all these fancy graphs, do this, do that, AI content tools, write this, write that. The problem is that these tools still do not meet the criteria of what you need to rank. Humans are not deprecated yet. We still have an important role in how we serve content and what we do. The barrier to rank is moving, and over the next year, it's going to get harder. It's going to move more. Now, anyone that looks at the SEO communities on Facebook, LinkedIn, or anywhere else will see lots of people that jumped on the AI bandwagon are now suffering. So, traditional SEO still lives on. Now, let me explain why. And I'm not going to name any tools out of professional courtesy. There are tools out there, and what they do is you put your keyword in, what you want to rank for, they scrape the top 10 results of Google, and then they look at keyword density. They don't call it that. They just look at keyword density, and they put NLP next to it, and they say, write this so many times into the content, and you'll rank, okay? And this kind of practice is the kind of practice that Google is now specifically targeting, because this is not helpful. People don't need to read that you offer fire pits 50 times. What they want to do is they want to see how many fire pits that you've got to offer, and is your brand trustworthy if you sell them a fire pit? So, we've got technical progression. We have AI and machine learning. Now, this is going to learn at a much faster rate than humans do. So, we can expect a massive paradigm shift moving forward, much faster than all of the stuff that we've seen before over the years. Because as we've seen it, I think it's Moore's Law from Intel about processing power becoming exponentially more powerful. Well, Google's riding that curve. Now, there's another thing that you might find interesting. I can guarantee there are some of you out there that have been producing content and Google's not indexing it. Now, another interesting thing. Years and years and years, Google would index any old... Can I swear? Shit. Google would index shit. You could put an article on your website about how to wash your dog in a washing machine and Google would index it and would serve it. That is now dead and that is dying. And Google is now specifically looking at something called first pass crawl. On a first pass crawl, if Google indexes a piece, goes to index a piece of content, looks at it, and deems that it probably isn't going to serve it, it won't index it, and it will go into crawled, currently not indexed, discovered, currently not indexed. If you go into Google Search Console and go into your indexing and then look at what is happening with your content, that will give an indication. Now, there are nuances to that. It depends. If you've got content on your site, don't link to it properly, can't be rendered, stuff like that, that will also have a negative impact. The point is that Google is moving forward rapidly. So we need to start thinking ahead of what SEO tools are telling us to do in terms of using AI to churn out content. No, we really need to start making SEO about what do we give the end users to actually make them engage and interact. So what I mean by that is if someone Googles how to make lemon pie and your result is first and people are looking on it and your ingredients are missing or you've not put the right process in place and people are like, this is too confusing, they bounce off, go back, go somewhere else, that is going to have a negative and detrimental impact on your efforts moving forwards. So now, this is the other side of things. I do a lot of SEO testing. What Google says and what Google does are completely different things. Google does not always obey these guidelines, which is why when some of you are going, well, I Googled this after the helpful content update and I noticed Reddit and Quora were everywhere, despite them serving loads of crap and offensive stuff. Well, Google doesn't always get it right, and that has always been the case. But what I will say is that if you genuinely put the effort into making sure that you are serving what the end users want, you stand a much better chance of doing well in the long run, even if it takes you longer to rank. Now, these content quality guidelines are guidelines. They're not arbitrary, and they won't apply in every circumstance. So, some of the things that you can start thinking about. When you think about modern SEO, what you have to think about is before you go to write a piece of content, you need to understand before you do that, who am I aiming this content at and what are they likely to want? Now, Google is applying AI machine learning to algorithms, so it's better able to understand content quality, more able to understand intent and context of search. So go back 10 years and you type cheap trainers, you could rank an article on cheap trainers even if you had no products to sell. Well, that's not the case anymore. More able to understand intent and context of search. So there's Google BERT. Google BERT has allowed Google to better understand the combination of words that understand what people are actually looking for. access to far more data touchpoint, including content and trust signals. So let me give you a hypothetical. You've got a headache, you've got a toothache, you're in agony, and you think, do you know what? I need some painkillers. How much codeine can I take that's safe? If Google serves content that says you can take 50 codeine tablets and 5 lines of Coke and you can drink 10 liters of vodka, that's putting people at harm, okay? So Google is explicitly putting things in place to protect people. Far more touch points in terms of data and trust signals. Google will know more about your brand than you think, from citations, people talking about your brand on social media. This brand is crap. They didn't deliver my tablets. They didn't do this. They didn't do that. Negative stuff all over the place. Google is far more aware of data because they have access to so much data. And trust signals. And trust signals can be links. They can be positive brand reviews. They can be lots of other things. And now the next thing, and this is so important, Google can start to differentiate between content that is designed to rank. And this is why I've now embarked on trying to advocate not following content tools to the T. Because when people put a keyword into a content tool and it says, well, write this, put these keywords in this many times, blah, 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 the person isn't thinking about, well, is this important to the end user? I want to buy tablet paracetamol online. I don't care about the origin of paracetamol. I care about how many micrograms I get and how quick it will come. So the way that Google is looking at it is content created to satisfy end user needs versus content designed to rank. What that means is that if you carry on writing content based on a brief that is targeting keywords, you're gonna suffer in the long run. Modern SEO, content self-assessment. Basically, you create a piece of content and then you go back and you look at it and you think, is this really important to what people want? Content quality, is everything that you've written factually correct? Are you making statements that aren't substantiated? So Google is explicitly also clamping down on misinformation. So if people make statements about we're the best this, we're number one for this, this is the best product, and there's nothing to substantiate that, that is a misleading claim and that will go against you. Demonstrating expertise. If you are a lawyer and you're asked to write an article on a local government and finance act, you can do it because you understand it. If you are a writer that's used to writing about best paddling pools for tots and then you're asked to write a legal article, you're not going to hit the mark because you don't understand the niche. Focused on people first content. So ideally, if someone is searching for something and you get an understanding of what they want, you're creating content in the orientation that they would expect it. So if someone Googled lemon cake recipe and then you write an article about lemon cake recipes and put the instructions at the end, that's not a good user experience. Avoid content for search engines, jamming your keywords in, don't do it. Get to know EEAT, experience, expertise, authority, trust, and quality rated guidelines. Basically, it's the kind of things that Google are looking at to understand whether or not you're creating good content. Okay. So what should we be focusing on to benefit from helpful content updates? So first of all, you can Google it, Google helpful content guidelines, and you'll get a set of guidelines. And to simplify it, to get very top level, I put these things here. So this is like taking Google's helpful content guidelines and condensing it into top level points. What do we have to offer? So you run an e-commerce brand selling coats. And you want to rank for cheap coats, black coats, red coats, waterproof coats, but you have a quarter or a 1/20th of the inventory that your competitors do. You will suffer. You will have a problem. If you are offering something, you have to ensure that you are competitive, that you have something that means that you can compete with the results, whether you're a product, whether you're a service, whether you're writing something informational or a review. Because fundamentally, if someone types in cheap trainers and they get a website with 10 pairs of cheap trainers versus Foot Locker that might have 1,000 pairs of cheap trainers, the chance that you're going to get a transaction is next to nothing. Google's not going to continue serving you above a site that continues to transact when you don't. So are we competitive? So this was the point that I just made. Have you got enough product? If you are talking about a service, let's say you're a window cleaner and you offer window cleaning as a service, what other stuff do you offer around that? Cleaning guttering, cleaning doors, PVC cleaning. So are you competitive at a service level and making it clear that you are? Pricing. If you want to rank for cheap trainers and all of your trainers are 100% more expensive than all of the sites that you compete against, you are not going to stand a chance, because over time Google will just see constant pogo from your site back to search results to another site. So you have to make sure before you embark on anything, are you competitive? Service coverage. If you offer drain cleaning in London, then you know you can't go after generic terms outside of London. Size of market and competitors. So you need to understand, you need to size up what you have to offer and whether or not you're competitive. What is the most important information to end users? Information prioritization. So I say this, and this is excruciatingly important. If you are trying to sell something, whether it's a product or a service, you need to prioritize the information that you are giving to people. Put the information in prioritization order. You would not believe how much importance that carries, because people come to your site and they're looking for a service that you have to offer, and you've got content all over the place. They're not going to scour through it. They're not going to read 500 paragraphs about why you're the best drain cleaner in London. They want to know key things. Create content in order of priority. So make sure that you create a customer user priority checklist. Make sure your content adheres to helpful content and EAT guidelines. Exercise caution with keyword and AI tools. Focus more on your end user, not on what keyword tools tell you to do. And consider expected behavior. So always make sure when you're producing content and putting on your site, you pull it in an order that is most likely to benefit your end user. Almost done. It's like two slides there. You need to assess your content that indicates your expertise. If you are a specialist, if you were a car mechanic for 20 years and you were looking for a part and you went to a website that offered a part, you would know whether that content was written by someone that knew what they were doing or not. And if you are in a more complex niche like health or finance, it will become very clear very quickly whether or not you have the expertise. So what I mean by that is, if you run a business where it's a specialist niche, you should find specialist writers that understand the niche inside out. Ensure your content is presented in a way that offers a good page experience. So prioritize your content and the order of that content. Don't put slabs of content on a web page. Break content up, use the right headings, segregate it, put videos in, put media, make people want to continue reading it. Because believe you me, if your pogo rates are high and your engagement rates are low, that's gonna be a clear data point for Google to work from. Worry less about traditional SEO factors. Google is relying on them less and less.
Well, that wraps us up for this week. Hopefully you enjoyed that. I'm sure you did. It was a very, very interesting talk from Daniel. I think, like I said, he is one of the preeminent voices in SEO right now and somebody you should be paying attention to, because he really, really knows his stuff. It was a fantastic talk. I was there in person. Really, really enjoyed the talk in person as well. And like I said, Search Norwich 13, aka the Search Norwich Christmas Social, is coming up in Norwich on the 6th of December. Links for the free tickets through Eventbrite will be in the podcast description, so go and click the link and check it out for yourself. You can, of course, also watch this talk in full on our YouTube channel as well. I'll put a link for the Search Norwich YouTube channel in there as well if you want to check out Dan's talk. And, of course, if you want to check out Floor's fantastic talk all about link building and best practices, which was also from Search Norwich 12. There's also a massive archive, which is almost like a who's who of fantastic SEO people. Everyone from Hannah Rampton and Elena Solis to Chris Green and everyone in between. It's a fantastic list of talks. I highly recommend you go and check out. And like I said, click the link in the show notes and you'll get straight to the Search Norwich YouTube channel. I'll be back next week. I've got a couple of fantastic guests coming up. Not only have I got Lydia Infante, who I mentioned a few weeks ago, not only have I got Morgan Petrov coming up as well, I've also got Petra Kiss-Hershey coming up in the next few weeks as well. Of course, Mark and I will be back towards the end of the month with our usual SEO news recap show, and we're getting pretty close to episode 100, so stay tuned to what we've got planned for season 2, episode 100, in a few weeks' time. Until then, thank you so much for listening, and have a lovely week.